Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
On every measure, ever measured by the social sciences, the intact married family is the strongest on every outcome ever measured.
We, as the policymakers, think that the best way to improve the demographic situation is by strengthening the families.
It's also true, I think, for people who are worried about women's rights, about the gay rights, about environmentalism. All these movements are deeply informed by a 1970s era preoccupation with the so-called population bomb.
That's a clip from a new independent film called Demographic Winter. I grew up with it, didn't you? Overpopulation, population control. It was one of the things we feared, that and the A-bomb. That the world was going to be so crowded, we were given pictures of a world right now. Oh, by what? By the year 2010, what would it be like? We'll just be all living cheek to jowl. There would be no farmland. There'd be no room for crops or livestock. It would just be people, 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 every square inch of the earth covered with people. And I remember as a kid in grade school thinking, well, golly, we got to do something about this. And I believed it. Some people still do believe it. And now, as an adult, I'm thinking, you know, Social Security is not that far off for me. And what the economists are telling me is that there aren't enough people working, paying in, to take care of those who are stopping working, who want to get paid out. And I'm just doing the math on the numbers, thinking, if we have fewer and fewer children, what will that mean for me and my kids and my grandkids? We're talking about population control. Here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 21st of July. We'll begin with a short conversation with Jennifer Roback Morse, and then Audio Open Lines. Bishop Gene Robinson gave a very interesting prayer Monday at an inaugural event. We didn't have time to get to it before. We got time now. I'm going to play this prayer for you, and I want to hear what you think. It begins, "In the name of the God of our many understandings." We'll play it for you, get your reaction, Audio Open Lines a little bit later. Then part three of a five-part weekly series on bad ways to argue about abortion today. When you assume what you're trying to prove, Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You're the economist. Tell me, what should we worry about more in terms of our economy, a population increase or a population decrease in the industrialized world?
Well, actually, the evidence is in that the so-called population explosion was never really the kind of problem that people said that it was. And in fact, most reputable economists never believed the Paul Ehrlich-style population bomb scare tactics that were coming out of the 70s, as you mentioned in your introduction. Right now, the most serious problem is depopulation because there simply aren't enough people to buy the products that are out there, to pay for people's retirements, to buy the homes that the baby boomer generation is going to want to be selling their houses, the big houses, the biggest houses you ever have, you buy in your 40s or 50s, and if you want to retire, you kind of downsize, and so you have to sell that big house off, and there simply aren't going to be enough people to buy all those big houses. So in addition to the financial problems that we're having, the credit crunch problems, there's another whole aspect to the demographic slowdown that we're seeing, or the economic slowdown that we're seeing, and that is this demographic component, that you're changing the number of consumers, and therefore you're changing the prospects for prosperity long term.
The film Demographic Winter, you recently reviewed it. What kind of questions does it ask and what kind of answers does it provide?
Yes, that's the first part of Demographic Winter, and I did a review for it on MercatorNet.com, and then I also sent it out to my subscribers, to my weekly newsletter that people who participate in the Ruth Institute subscribe to. And yeah, I called it Walking in a Winter, Demographic Winter Wonderland, because so many people are just oblivious to the message of Demographic Winter. The message of the movie is that the population slowdown really has caused a series of problems that people are not taking seriously. And in fact, it's my observation that people are studiously avoiding even the question itself. People don't want to see that having a smaller number of children each generation is causing an economic slowdown and is going to cause problems long term. The biggest single one is the pension problem that you alluded to. We now have more people, as we go through this demographic bulge, let's put it this way, it varies across the countries, but as you go through the demographic bulge, there are more and more people retiring and wanting to be paid compared to the number of workers that there are actually earning the money and producing the goods that are going to be needed to sustain people in retirement. And so depending on the country, you know, you're looking at pension shortfalls that are in some cases quite dramatic. And if you think about it in real terms, you know, forget about the money, forget about the government programs, because in a way the government programs kind of obscure things and make it look like there's something there when there really isn't anything there. Just look at a family, an ordinary family, and ask yourself this question. If you have if you are a child and you are an only child and you have two parents to take care of, that's a much bigger burden for you to physically take care of them than if you had four or five brothers or sisters to help you out with taking care of them. And so what's happening is, and many baby boomers have kind of already experienced this, but it's only going to get worse. The baby boom generation, we delayed having kids for a long time, and so a lot of us had small children to deal with at the same time that we had aging parents to deal with. So we have both dependent generations happening at the same time. Well, that was our own darn fault because we pushed it off. We pushed off having kids so long that we're practically menopausal before you have your first child. You know, it's going to be harder to enlist the help of the generations. That middle generation is going to be taking care of dependent people at both ends. And so now as we go through the generation, the baby boomers are coming to retire. Each one of them has less than one child or approximately one child to take care of them. And so that means just thinking about the physicality of it, you know, that's only one child to take care of the two parents or one child per parent to take care of all of that person's needs while at the same time trying to hold down a job of their own, perhaps trying to raise children of their own. It's very taxing and very time-consuming. And so that right there in small, at the personal level, you can see what the problem is going to look like writ large. That is, the working age generation is going to be faced with a greater and greater burden because they haven't spread it out over having a lot of kids. And so it's a much bigger problem than anybody like Paul Ehrlich ever even remotely gave credit to.
Let's talk a little bit for just a few minutes about what's usually called replacement levels of
yes.
procreation. Couples who have one child or zero children, what does it mean when we talk about replacement levels?
Yeah, the demographers use the number of 2.1 children per woman as the basic replacement rate of fertility. And what that means is that if a woman has 2.1 children, never mind where a 0.1 child comes from, but you get the idea. If you want to have enough children to replace yourself and your spouse with a little left over because some of those babies aren't going to make it to adulthood. So that 2.1 figure that they come up with, that's what it's designed to do, is to say this will keep a constant size of population. It'll keep the population exactly the size that it is now. And most of the industrialized world is well below the replacement fertility. In fact, the United States is unique among the industrialized countries at being right around 2.1 babies per woman. The European Union average is around 1.6 babies per woman. Some of the individual countries, of course, are much worse than that. So you have Italy and Spain and Russia, which are down around 1.2 babies per children, or children per woman. And so what that means is if you're looking at around one child per woman, is that the population will be cut in half every generation. That's what that means.
Okay, then finally, before we let you go, tomorrow marks the 36th anniversary, a sad anniversary, of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. Your thoughts, with only about 30 seconds, on 36 years of legalized abortion in America.
Well, what we've done is we've wiped out part of our labor force. I mean, those were all children. This is the crudest way to think about it, but all of those children could have been productive citizens, could have been contributing members of society. And because their mothers were, for whatever reason, unwilling to bring them into being, we now are in a situation where those very mothers, those very older women who are now older, are going to have fewer people around themselves personally and in the culture at large to help take care of them as they age. And that is one of the sad legacies of Roe versus Wade.
Folks, you'll find a link to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute under the on-demand section of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's authored the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, a little bit of audio open lines. It was a couple days ago, before all of the festivities, very beginning of the week, when they kicked off the inauguration festivities in advance of Tuesday's event. And it was Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Church USA. He was there at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial with Barack Obama at the beginning of a big concert gala event, and he gave a prayer. In advance of the prayer, he was granting interviews to the press, saying he wasn't going to mention the name of Jesus, and he planned to pray in the God to a God of our many understandings, he thinks was the phrase, the God of our many understandings. We're going to listen to that prayer. What does a prayer sound like when it's prayed to the God of our many understandings? And what if my understanding of God is different from the one depicted in the prayer by Dr. Gene Robinson? We'll hear it. We'll get your reaction. Audio open lines right after this, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues, etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life or pro-Obama?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Groups such as Catholics United and Sojourners that claim to be pro-life but supported Barack Obama for president are struggling to justify their actions. They argue that the pro-life strategy of seeking to ban or limit abortions through legislation has failed. This line of argument ignores the fact that pro-life laws have saved innumerable lives and that the abortion rate is at a historic low because of such laws. It also ignores that Roe v. Wade is closer than ever to being overturned by the Supreme Court, and that polls show a majority of Americans are still pro-life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.